5. I found it. Was it really possible after all this time? And of course, Gabe was very aware of what the Samaritan had not said. He'd said, "I found it," not "I found her." Unless he was sparing Gabe. But then why call him out here? There was something more contained within those words. He felt it. A lie by omission. "I found it." And? He squinted at the unfamiliar road signs and guided the camper van along roads that felt too narrow and twisty. Gabe always felt a momentary dislocation when he pulled off the motorway, like he had cut a safety line, severed the umbilical cord, jumped into the abyss without a chute. Panic scratched with feverish claws at the back of his mind. Panic that he could be missing her. Panic that he was letting her slip away, all over again. Irrational. Insane. But he couldn't help it. The motorway. That was his only link. The place he had last seen her. The place he had lost her. You're supposed to do anything for your child. Anything. And he had just watched his daughter disappear. Just let those taillights pull away. Gone. Vanished. He had replayed it over and over in his mind. If only he had done things differently. If only he hadn't turned off. If only he had followed that damn shitty old car. If only. If only. Glorious hindsight. But hindsight isn't glorious. Hindsight is a shabby con man. A game show host in a gold lame suit and bad hairpiece who mockingly shows you what you could have won. If you had been faster, braver, more committed, if you weren't such a coward. But ladies and gentlemen, give him a round of applause. He's been a great contestant. Still a loser, though. Still a fucking loser. He gripped the steering wheel tighter and glanced at the clock. 2:47 a.m. The sky was still a deep swathe of velvety black, pierced through with a few tiny pinpoints of light. It would be a while before dawn dragged it aside. In mid-February, that wouldn't happen for another 3 hours, at least. He was glad. He preferred the darkness. Preferred this time of year. When the days first began to shorten during October, he both welcomed and hated it. The long hours of summer were bad. Sunny days brought more people to the motorway, cars packed with families heading off on holiday. Smiling, eager, happy faces. Sweaty, screaming, exhausted ones. He saw Izzy in all of them. Once or twice at the beginning, he had almost run after a couple of little girls, convinced they were her. Both times he had realized, just before he made a fool of himself, or earned a punch in the face from an angry father, that he was wrong. He had been saved from humiliation. He hadn't been saved from the gut-wrenching disappointment. By October, the hordes of families had dissipated, back to school and work and the mundane commute. But in their place came other events, other celebrations. Halloween, bonfire night. Throughout the year, it seemed, there were events designed to remind the lonely that they were indeed alone. No children, eyes illuminated by the flare and sparkle of fireworks. No other half to wrap an arm around and draw close against the autumn chill. Christmas was the worst, because it was the most invasive. On the roads, the motorway, in the service stations, you could escape the other occasions for the most part. But Christmas, bloody Christmas, pervaded everywhere. Creeping in earlier and earlier each year. Even the service stations would make meagre attempts at decorations and erect lopsided Christmas trees, badly wrapped empty boxes beneath them. The shops would be full of Christmas goodies for those who had forgotten a present for Auntie Edna, and were on the way to a family gathering. And the songs. That was what really drove him past the edge of insanity. The same dozen Christmas songs played again and again. And not even the originals, but irritatingly bad copies. After the first year, he had bought himself a very expensive pair of noise-cancelling headphones, so he could shut them out and listen to his own more maudlin, less full of good cheer song selection. Gabe hated Christmas. Anyone who has ever lost someone hates Christmas. Christmas takes your pain and turns it up to 11. It taunts your loss with every glistening treetop and first Noel. It reminds you that there is no respite, no let-up. Your grief is unrelenting, and even if you manage to put it away like a box of decorations, it will always come back, reappearing every year, as familiar as Jacob Marley's rotting ghost. The further away from Christmas it was, the more settled he felt. Not happy. Gabe never felt happy. He wasn't sure that that particular emotional avenue was open to him anymore. But he had found a kind of acceptance. Not acceptance that Izzy was gone. An acceptance that this was now his life. Relentless, joyless, tiring, hard. But that was okay. It was what he deserved. Until he found her. One way or another. A green sign emerged from the darkness ahead. Barton Marsh, 2 miles. Next right. A filter. He signaled and pulled over. Laurie Anderson sang about Hansel and Gretel, all grown up and sick of each other. No such thing as happy ever after, he thought. The turn took him onto an even narrower, twistier country lane. No streetlights, just sporadic cat's eyes winking at him from the centre of the road. His phone pinged with a text. How close? 2 miles. Past a farm? No. After the farm, look out for a lay-by. Pull in, footpath into woods. Okay. Footpath into woods. His scalp prickled. Momentarily, he wondered what had brought the Samaritan here, to such a secluded spot. Then he decided he really didn't want to know. He dragged his concentration back to the road. To his left, a sign sprang out of the gloom. Old Meadows Farm. Sure enough. Just a few yards down on his right, he spotted a lay-by, the P sign almost totally obscured by overgrown trees. He pulled in behind the only other car parked there, a black BMW. A few years old, the number plate partially obscured by dirt. Not enough to attract the attention of the police, but just enough to make it difficult to make out at a glance. The back and rear windows were tinted, although Gabe doubted that that was for the comfort of the passengers. He turned off the camper van's engine, which was probably loud and chugging enough to be heard back at the farmhouse, opened the glove box, and took out a small torch. Then he grabbed his thick parka from the passenger seat and shrugged it on. He climbed out of the van and locked the doors. Probably unnecessary. He was procrastinating, putting the moment off. He zipped up the parka right to his chin. It was cold tonight. His breath puffed out like cigarette smoke. He looked around. To his left, a half-rotted public footpath sign pointed to a narrow gap between overgrown bushes. Footpath into woods. Gabe wasn't sure anything good ever came from taking a footpath into the woods at night, alone. He flicked on his torch and headed through.